right, podcast world, welcome back to Spoilers, your show where we spoil the movie and your childhood. Today we'll be watching Tango and Cash, a classic yeah. from the 80s. I am your host, Hollywood, joined by my two co-hosts, Adam and
you.
Maestro. Introduce yourselves to the Legions.
Thank you. Thank you. Maestro. Yeah.
Yes. Good to be here, everybody. Good to be here with this Tango and Cash episode. Very, very excited about Tango and Cash. Cash and Tango.
Oh, yes.
Tango Cash.
Cash. Tango. But before we jump into that, like always, we always like to start the show with movie news. And
yes.
We have a doozy. Okay, now, hear me out. Don't comment until I'm done.
All right. I'll do my best.
Okay. There's a controversy. There's a controversy about Terminator.
Oh,
controversy.
Okay. It was originally stated that
you can't teleport to time travel without clothes.
No, it was originally coming out that Schwarzenegger was coming back for the fifth Terminator,
and that the
Rock would be on either as a cyborg
okay,
right. or a human. We don't know yet.
Okay. No comments.
But the fifth Terminator was supposed to continue Terminator Salvation, Christian Bale's Terminator.
Yeah,
which shows you how
that's a prequel.
It's sort of like the prequel or sequel, technically, because they go back in time.
It's a prequel in the future.
yeah. I guess it's a future prequel. Right. But it's supposed to continue that same storyline that was already been established.
Yeah. This is before John Connor.
Then rumors surfaced that they were going to reboot the franchise and start fresh from scratch.
No.
And then there were rumors that they were going to do three of them. And now it's official.
Uh-oh.
They're going to do three.
Starting summer 2015, the Terminator franchise is being rebooted. And we're going to get three of them, one in 2015, one in 2017, and one in 2018. Whole new franchise, whole new storyline. Do you want to know why?
Please.
Because the rights, part of the deal of selling the Terminator rights was James Cameron gets them back in 2019. So when James Cameron gets it back in 2019, he'll probably just reboot the franchise again. So we're going to go through three reboots by the time this thing.
So we're going through a Spider-Man.
Sort of. That's similar Amazing Spider-Man dilemma. What are your thoughts on that, of this whole drama with the Terminator franchise?
There better not be a Tobey Maguire in this one either.
Oh, my God. It'd be horrible. He'd be horrible, John Connor. But is Terminator now, I don't know too much about it. Was it a comic book at first?
No, it was an original idea. Actually, James Cameron thought of it. He had a dream.
Interesting.
He had a dream about the model of the T-800, whatever that model
is. It started off with the train sat in the background going... That's how it started.
Yeah, he dreamt it, and then he used to work for Roger Corman.
Okay.
Roger Corman actually gave him his first job in Hollywood, and he told him, I'm thinking of making a movie about, you know, futuristic robots. And
okay.
Corman, it was too expensive for him, but he said, you know what, I think you could do it. Go ahead and do it. So he went out and, you know, got funding and everything, and the Terminator was an original idea.
That's just pretty cool then. I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
The original ideas, which don't happen anymore. Yeah. Obviously, they're rebooting it.
Well, everyone knows why they're not doing anything new.
Yeah. But, I mean, as far as this Terminator thing goes, I feel like, how many different ways can you take it? I mean, Terminator is pretty
straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward.
I send this dude back to protect my mom against this robot.
Well, don't forget they also did a series for Terminator 2.
The TV
same girl,
show.
Yeah, with the girl from Serenity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that girl.
Yeah, you don't know, do you?
I have no idea.
It was a chick Terminator.
Also, I don't know Firefly.
Who was sent back to protect John Connor. Was it John Connor and his mom or just John Connor?
I only saw
one episode.
I think John Connor.
Yeah.
So how can you reboot it then? You're pretty much going to tell the same story with updated effects then?
I guess so.
I thought you said you can't.
What?
I thought they had to do a reboot where it's a completely different story, isn't it?
No.
That is a new movie. It's not a reboot.
Well, I mean, a reboot is like...
Same premise, different plot and storyline.
Fuck, what's been rebooted? I can use
Total Recall.
No, that's a remake.
It's a remake?
Yeah.
It's not a reboot.
No.
All right. Hold on.
Actually, I don't know. Fuck. No, because there's reboots, there's remakes, and there's reimaginings.
Yeah.
All right, like Peter Pan franchise.
Which Peter Pan franchise?
Okay, I think rebooting is when you just go, fuck everything you know, and then we're starting from scratch again.
Okay.
With something new. I think that's what reboot is.
So Peter Pan has been rebooted like 1,000 times?
No.
Sort of, yeah.
The way I see it is rebooting means just updating.
Starting over. To reboot anything, a computer, you're starting over.
No,
you're going back to the original premise. When you reboot a computer, you're starting over from the beginning, but the same structure is being held up to get the computer back to where it needed to be at the beginning.
Okay.
So that to reboot means you're retelling the same exact story.
So what's the difference between rebooting and reimagining then?
I think reimagining is Okay, reimagining is something like the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the Tim Burton one.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, that's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
So yeah. Basically it's the same
so
story.
It's same, just... similar story, but you're throwing in your own little beats that
take.
Are making it. Yeah, it's a different take on a very similar story that
so
we're familiar with.
So basically if two people write a book.
I think that's what it is.
So basically if two people write a book and this is how they saw it happen, that's what a reimagining is.
I think so,
okay.
Yeah.
Then a reboot basically is clearing out the cache and making it run faster and smarter.
Yeah.
And a remake... is
you're pretty much almost copying. Replicating beat for beat like the Halloween
so carbon copy and,
or the yeah sort of yeah
okay
but those are sequels too then ah this is
are they?
Confusing as hell
yeah
are they?
Just like the Terminator franchise it's confusing as hell like it doesn't
what about
make sense.
The X-Men franchise
oh that's true
that's rebooting and re
well mm. The X-Men First Class timeline doesn't take place technically on the same timeline as the Brian
just like
Singer
the Star
movies.
Trek reboot.
Sort of, yeah.
Crap, there's so many reboots.
There's a lot of stuff.
You can make a Highlander reboot.
Oh, my God. My head's just going
to
hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do they have anybody attached to these new Terminators yet?
No one yet. Well, The Rock, I guess.
The Rock. That guy, he's gone too crazy. This Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
What do you mean?
He's all over the place. He's way too big now.
So?
He's huge. He's not. I know he's getting back in wrestling, so he has to be a little bigger, but it's like a cartoon now. He's too big. It's ridiculous.
So he's emasculating you? Is that what you're trying to say? Because he's too big?
No, I look at him like that's not a real person. That's
oh, so
not a real
he's
person.
He's a cartoon now.
He's CGI. He's CGI The Rock.
Right now, The Rock's the only person attached to these three, but I don't know.
Well,
as we get closer to 2015, we'll
can't
find out.
John
more.
Connor.
No. He doesn't fit the complexity.
Yeah.
No.
He's been doing pretty good with he's been doing pretty good with the other movies he's been making where he's not like so
He's pretty solid for action movies. He's solid.
He's literally a rock.
Yeah.
And there's this movie that he made recently that just went on to like TV called The Mysterious Island and he plays a co-star. Of one of the characters from Hunger Games, and the
PETA,
yeah, PETA,
and Michael Caine's in it.
Yeah,
he's the grandpa,
yeah.
And they ride
yeah.
the bees
like
and stuff.
Yeah, but
my ex-girlfriend's brother made me watch that movie.
Yeah, it's a good
and
movie.
I actually liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Well, it's not great.
Well, I just saw G.I. Joe.
It didn't suck.
Retaliation,
yeah.
Retribution, one of those
yeah.
G.I. Joes. Well, besides the movie being awful, I think just the Rock was it was all. This is going to take forever.
It's okay.
Yeah. Terminator is being rebooted.
Let's move on. Terminator is being rebooted.
I'm interested, but I'm also very
we'll get closer
very
to that as it gets closer to 2015.
Yeah.
Next one up. Christian Bale has confirmed that he will not be reprising his role as Batman in 2015's The Justice League film.
Oh.
What are your thoughts? Did you like Christian Bale as Batman?
Christian Bale is fine as a Batman. I mean, he played both sides pretty well, but his voice acting for Batman was a little bit like, yeah.
I didn't like it either.
I didn't like his face either as Batman.
Ah, you don't like any
of his
face.
I know you didn't see his face, but he's got this
the mouth
thing,
part?
His mouth.
Yeah.
His mouth was overacting. When behind the there's too much. I mean, Christian Bale, I mean, I enjoyed the storyline of the new Batmans, the darker take on it. If that's possible, the Batman is already pretty dark.
Yeah.
But I still, it's weird. Michael Keaton, I think, was a good Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Still kind of weird. I watched it again recently and it still didn't work out so well for me. But I think Christian Bale is probably the best that we're going to get.
Right, for now. Yeah.
I mean, like, it's going to be pretty hard to find a Batman that actually is suitable. I mean, considering all the Batmans before him, I mean, pretty much it was just Michael Keaton, pretty much.
Yeah. Clooney wasn't good.
No.
Clooney was bad.
I liked Val Kilmer as Wayne, Bruce Wayne, but not as Batman.
Right. Tell me, Doctor. Do you like the thickest? Come on, really?
I liked him as Bruce Wayne.
Dude, Val Kilmer has a lisp, man.
Nah, Val Kilmer's fine. He's great.
You know what's funny about the Batman movies? I think the villains do a better job in each of those three than Christian Bale does. Because the first one, you had Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul. And then you had, obviously, the Joker was badass. And then Bane was badass.
You skipped over Two-Face, my brother.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Two-Face was good, too.
Yeah, he was.
And Scarecrow was sort of okay.
Well, he was a small prize role. It's cool. But I did like – because a lot of people say they didn't like Bane's voice from the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was, like, awful. They took him out of the movie, all that jazz, right? I find it actually quite entertaining because if you see the actor that plays him, really, he's the same guy that plays also in Inception.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
He's the con man.
He's the con man from Inception.
Oh, God.
The Brit.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's him.
it's fine. But the voice was too much.
I enjoyed it because the thing
it didn't match his physique.
It's not supposed to match his physique. He's supposed to. Okay,
the well, technically, in the comic, he doesn't have a. He just talks normal.
Yeah.
With a Latin accent.
Yeah. Right. Supposedly. But
right. I don't know why the mask makes him Sean Connery 3PO. I don't appreciate that. It's very distracting. It's very distracting.
Oh, but everyone really like you shoot about. I do like the voice, though. I mean, it just takes, because everyone that in the cartoon made Bane look like a luchador with like no brains. And the first remake of Bane in the Batman movies, all he was a big giant thug with no brains.
Oh, and Batman and Robin was. Yeah. Bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Bomb. He would put the bombs down. Yeah. Bomb. I mean,
it's like Bane, a real dumb juggernaut.
But that's the thing about it, though.
In the comic books, Bane is as smart as Batman.
Yeah.
He's a strategist, and he's his equal.
Okay, so this Bane was more accurate to the comics.
Exactly.
Similar, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He made Bane more towards the comics than any other Bane before him.
Okay, but still, because when you read comics, you have to imagine the voice your own self.
Yeah.
That's redundant and repetitive when I say your own self.
But that's called a reimagining, Adam.
But when you add a voice like that, that's got to shatter your image. There's no way anybody's voice when they're reading the comics has that Sean Connery 3PO voice.
Batman, I have come back.
There's no way that's the voice that you imagine.
Batman, is that so?
You know, when I read a Batman comic, the voice I hear is the animated series one, Kevin Conroy. And whenever I read the Joker, I hear Mark Hamill.
Yes,
that's my Joker voice.
Yes. Okay. Mark Hamill is amazing.
For voice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing the Joker. Remember the Batman, the animated series, when it first
came out? That was Luke Skywalker, right?
What?
That was Luke Skywalker?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, that was Luke Skywalker, and he does an amazing Joker.
Okay, so...
Well, first of all, back to the story that you were talking about.
Second of all...
I thought they were going to reboot Batman anyway. Isn't Batman being rebooted?
Yes.
So how could he be part of the new Batman if it's being rebooted anyway?
Well, he's not. He confirmed that he's not reprising his role. Oh, I get what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, because Batman's going to start over anyway. Then you can't have old Batman coming with the new Avengers.
That's true.
Or the new, what do you call it? Justice League?
Yeah, there you go. Because Nolan might produce it, and people were thinking, oh, well, Nolan's doing it. Maybe he'll bring
Yeah, but then you'll have two new Batmans at the same time.
Yeah,
and
head explodes.
But right. I'm looking forward to see what their other characters are going to be using for the DC Universe remake.
I want Captain America to also fight alongside with the Human Torch at the same time. That'd be awesome.
What? Marvel.
That's
Marvel.
Universe.
Yeah,
that's DC.
Yeah.
They're two different universes?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Marvel and DC.
There's no way they can be on the screen at the same time?
Not a chance. Not unless it's a video game.
No.
Okay, that's good. Because it's the same actor. It's upsetting. All right.
I get you. So rumors have been floating around that Steven Seagal has signed on for 2014's The Expendables 3. He already joins an all-star cast that has Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Nicolas Cage, Jackie Chan, Wesley Snipes, Mila Jovovich, and Schwarzenegger. What are your thoughts on the new add to this already loaded roster?
Dude, if he's going to be reprised the cock puncher, I'd be so happy.
I feel like he left the name off that list, the very important name.
Bruce Willis?
Is Bruce Willis on that list?
From what I got, no.
Oh, no. I'm out.
I'm out! Was he in the second Expendables?
Yes,
he was.
Yes, that's
right.
Him and
Schwarzenegger, man. Yeah,
they were in the little go-kart?
That was, that was great.
I have shoes bigger than this car. Right?
Because I wanted to say that.
Is Chuck Norris going to be in it too or no?
No, he's not back.
Oh, my God.
That's fine.
He felt the second one was too violent and...
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Still no Kurt Russell? God damn it.
Wait.
I will get my revenge, though, when we review
Kingdom Cash. All right. Wait, what happened? I remember Kurt Russell not being able to be in the movies anymore, right?
No, that's Patrick Swayze.
Oh, it's Patrick Swayze.
They look very similar.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze is the one that...
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, he's...
But he died.
Yeah.
Well, but, like, I remember Kurt Russell when he did that movie, The Soldier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Todd.
Yeah, but, like, don't... But, like, the thing about it is when he was in that movie, he looked so small. Did you notice that?
You shut your mouth.
He did look small.
Russell is a god.
Okay. Is he small in stature in, like, real life?
I think
so. Like Tom Cruise? Like, real
Stallone? He's not short, but, like, if you stand him next to Stallone, like in Tango and Cash,
they're pretty short.
Fucking small next to him in the shower scene.
Yeah, well, his hair makes up
for
it.
But Stallone's short himself, though.
Yeah.
But Stallone's short himself.
No, but I mean, like, bulk-wise, because Schwarzenegger is big.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but, like...
And then Seagal's big because he's fat now.
Right. Yeah. Wasn't he a cop for, like, a good few years?
Oh, yeah, the reality show, he was, like, a sheriff or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Outlaw. Something.
So,
all right.
Last bit of news. This should be interesting. I want to know your take on this.
Okay.
According to The Hollywood Reporter, Sony Pictures has greenlit a film adaptation of the beloved 90s children cartoon show Captain Planet. Oh, he's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
Is it Don Cheadle?
No.
Oh.
That's the spoofs, dude.
That's the Funnier Die bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would watch because it's funny.
What are your thoughts on that?
It better be Don Cheadle.
So this is live?
Live action.
Live action.
They're turning it into a full movie.
Hey, what about the guy Pedro? Is they going to make him the guy with his heart?
Spoof. That's a spoof.
Of course
he has to be Indian.
Oh, that's right.
Well, no. Hollywood fucks up.
That's true.
Race casting all the time. Yeah. Daredevil, Kingpin was black.
Oh, don't forget the Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah. They were all white.
I mean, they're all white, and all the Korean people were like...
Huh? Iranian?
That's the Fire Kingdom.
Oh,
yeah. They made them like Persians.
Yeah. They actually racially cast them instead of just changing the eye color,
mm-hmm.
which is what they did in the cartoon.
All right. I enjoy the idea of Captain Planet because, like you were saying, it's childhood nostalgia. I'm gonna want to watch it. I'm sure it's going to be bad. I'm sure it's not going to live up to my childhood memories, but I'm very excited to see how they're going to pull it off.
And how are they going to make it prone for adults or kids?
I would like to see Angelina Jolie as Mother Earth.
Mm. Gaia?
Gaia.
That's a good casting.
Yeah, it is. I should be a caster.
Well, in the cartoon, Gaia was in the cartoon.
Whoopi Goldberg was the voice.
Yeah.
But she was white.
She wasn't white?
What?
She
really?
She had like a very like
she was
dark
Amazonian.
Skin.
Oh no, yeah, she was
Amazonian looking. Yeah.
She was exotic.
Exotic, that's a PC way to say.
In school, I had to do a report where I had to present something. It was like a speech class, the final was just like present anything you want. So I pretended to pitch a movie to like a studio, and it was fucking Captain Planet, and I had the whole casting, the breakdown, the budget, proposed everything.
Yeah.
That's now awesome. They're making it.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta get. Did you patent it?
No.
Did you get copyright? Ah,
no.
We could all be rich.
You know what we could do. We could just like you could make like a movie, whatever you want to do, write down and then just send it to yourself just to open it.
Yeah, I know.
Find some old stamps.
That's illegal. Letters. Yeah. That's legal.
Yeah.
All right. Movie news is over. Now on to the main course.
Mm-hmm.
1989's Tango and Cash, directed by two directors, Albert Magnoli and Andrei Konchalovsky. Starring the god, the man, the myth, the legend, Kurt Russell, this other guy you might heard of him, Sylvester Stallone, Terry Hatcher, Jack Palance, a bunch of other people. Adam, give us a quick rundown. What is Tango and Cash about? Quick
Cash
synopsis.
And Tango.
This was made in the 80s, you said? This was
1989.
Movie? All right, perfect. Just barely made the cutoff. Like most 80s films, this is very stereotyped. All the characters are very fit a niche. So you have the bad boy cop doesn't follow the rules, the more clean-cut cop that does follow the rules. They get somehow paired up together to first of all, they get framed
because
they're taking down this big drug kingpin, which is super rich and, like, way too much. But he frames them for murder to put them away so he can receive a shipment of a lot of guns, a lot of drugs. And once they get to prison, they break out. They try to track down the guy that's after them. And
madness ensues.
Madness ensues. Cliches ensue, and there's a lot of.
And logic goes out the window.
Logic is gone. There's no logic in this movie.
There was no logic from the beginning, dude. No. Like, come on.
I want to talk about that opening
with laser sights.
I want to talk about that opening scene with the fucking truck.
Yes.
So Beverly Hills is Stallone's jurisdiction, right?
Right.
They're in the middle of the fucking desert. You're telling me he followed a truck from Beverly Hills all the way out to the desert, and not only that. He speeds up in front of him and plays chicken. And did you notice he emptied his all six bullets?
I have that in my notes.
To put six more bullets in. I was like, are these the magic bullets from Who Framed Roger
Maybe
Rabbit?
They're armor piercing.
What
the armor piercing.
They go through glass.
I take it back.
All right, but even so, why empty it on the street? I mean, your car's right there. Just put it in the glove compartment. It's like, all right, these bullets are worthless.
Yeah.
I know they're like maybe 10 cents a bullet, but for shit's sake, it's just sloppy. This guy's supposed to be like a really good cop. First of all, he does the cliche thing.
No time for backup. I don't need backup.
I don't need backup.
This is mine. I got this. I'll take on this tank.
I'm
going to
be the cowboy.
Yeah, with this revolver.
A six shooter.
All right. Yeah. No, but he empties out his gun for no reason to put another fresh magazine in or whatever you call that thing. And then he starts shooting at the car.
You got a list. He's got a list.
Yeah.
He's got the little list.
This is a long, long list I have here. But he starts shooting at the truck that's coming at him full speed, at which point the truck then slams on the brakes because they realize, this guy's crazy because he's shooting at a truck. Yes, great. They slam on the brakes so hard that they fly through the window. Out. That means, first of all, they're not wearing seatbelts.
Yeah, bad guys never wear seatbelts.
Of course.
They always break the law.
Yeah. But it also means they hit the brakes so hard that the stop was so abrupt that he flew out.
Yeah.
Which, based on the movie, at the same time, he must have turned the car off.
Oh, yeah. He must have put the e-brake on.
Yeah, because...
For it to stop that quick.
Yes. And then once he flies out...
And to have enough motion to fly out, yeah.
There's nobody pushing the brakes anymore when you fly out the front of the car. So the truck should keep moving.
Unless, of course...
The stop's dead. There's no sound. Well, as he's flying out, he turns off the ignition, puts the e-brake on, and then flies out through the front of the window.
Well, what if the brakes lock?
What?
Oh, if they're air brakes, right? Or what are those type of brakes called?
Can they lock?
It's 1989. Do they have air brakes back then?
Oh, I don't know.
If they don't, then they lock. And if that's the case, then
That might be true.
All right, but even so,
I'm here to mess you up the whole night.
No. Because if you hit the brakes that hard, no matter what kind of car you're in, by the time it gets to a complete stop, that's when you get launched out. You're getting already like, the momentum should already be pushing you forward. It's not. Oh, now the car stopped. Now gravity catches up. Here comes physics, and whack! Then you go through the window.
And why are you stopping in the first place? Just fucking run him over.
Why? Exactly.
He's like the best cop or second best cop, depending on who you talk to, in fucking L.A. Why don't you just run him over and keep going? What do you mean? Oh, shit, this guy's crazy. Oh, yeah. And I've seen this movie a bunch of times. I never realized this until right now. The guy driving the car is that fucking crazy guy in jail.
Yeah.
Like, Bring me in him! I didn't realize that was him until I saw it
again. He's got a giant head and like a huge jaw.
The Leno chin?
Crazy, yeah.
He has the metal jaw, right?
No. You're thinking GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Or 007 movie. That's Jaws.
Jaws, yeah.
Breaking the cable with his teeth.
Awesome. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, but the first scene sets up the rest of the movie as far as glass breaking. There's a tremendous amount of breaking glass throughout this entire movie. It's all fake glass. It's 89, so I'll give it some slack. But it's all that fake candy glass where it just shatters and nobody seems to get cut by it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that glass breaking. But so the guys come out and the cops come and they're searching the truck for these drugs that apparently are supposed to be in the gas tank truck. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it's just gas in there. It's just gas. And someone's like, oh, really?
And the sheriff goes, I want your name. I want your badge. Yeah. I want your ass.
Yeah. He gets all angry. Like, oh, you'll never work in this town again.
Little Rambo over here, and he goes, Rambo's a pussy. I love that line.
I enjoyed that. Yes. So his response to almost getting fired is to shoot the gas tanker full of gas. It's a gas tanker. He shoots it, and then the cocaine or whatever starts spilling out. Like, oh, look at that. Anybody want to get high? It's so reckless. And this is like the entire movie. It's reckless abandon for all the rules, for anything that is in the real world. You do not shoot a gas tank. I don't care if you know, if you think you know. They've searched it. They say, no, there's all gas. I don't believe you. If he's wrong,
everyone dies.
Everyone's dead. End the movie.
But what if he automatically knew for sure?
How? How does he know for sure?
Well, they don't explain that because they're already on the run there.
And then we get introduced to Jack Palance. He drives by in the limo, and he goes, cash, tango. Tango cash.
Yeah.
Does he do that there? I thought he does it.
No, he does it in the limo. Because he says, he goes, it's either tap cash or tango. Cash, tango, tango, cash.
Yeah. I thought he does it after Kurt Russell shows up.
It's in the limo.
It's before.
And then we get introduced. Then the real movie starts. Then the movie actually starts.
I honestly like that part with Kurt Russell showing up instead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was fun.
Because Kurt Russell's like the fucking. All right, here we go.
All right.
For those of you in podcast land who don't know, Kurt Russell is my favorite actor of all time. You can talk about De Niro, Pacino,
fine.
Wannabes, has-beens compared to Kurt Russell.
Whoa.
Kurt Russell will blow them out of the water. And the reason I like Kurt Russell so much, I say this as a joke, but it's because he's underrated. Like, when you think of big action stars,
like Bruce Campbell?
You think of like, he's very Bruce Campbell-esque. He's a big like cult hero because a lot of his big movies are these like cult movies.
Like Big Trouble in Little China.
Escape from New York, The Thing.
Yeah.
Overboard.
Come on.
But you wanted to bring that up.
Yeah,
Overboard.
But you never think of him as an action star, which is why he's not in The Expendables.
All right.
But so what's his name? Ray Tango. Gabriel Cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Asian guy in his apartment tries to kill him.
Yeah.
And
breaking glass again, by the way.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Again, going to the breaking glass.
Yep.
Oh, man. They go to this crazy fucking driving sequence in a garage where they just wreck every car.
Before that, when he gets first attacked in his apartment, first of all, his door is
a mirror.
Yeah.
It's not a mirror on a door. The whole door is a mirror. Because yeah. He breaks through from the other room, and you see through the other room, which means there was a hole in the door where the mirror was. Which, that bugged me, but that's just details. But he proceeds to shoot him twice in the chest, which he appears to have no reaction to. From what I've heard, getting shot, even if you have a bulletproof vest on...
hurts.
It's the impact of death without the side effects. It feels like death because it's so piercing, but you don't die. So you're still like, oh, God in heaven, you're still in so much pain. But he's like, well, I'm going to chase him anyway. He jumps off the balcony. Yeah, you can't get shot twice in the chest.
Maybe it was a small, like, millimeter bullet, maybe 9mm, smaller, maybe.
I don't know.
I'm here to put logic to all this craziness. Yeah, that's all
luck.
I'm saying.
Good luck. I want to see that logic carry on the rest of the
I can try. I can try.
Yeah, so he gets shot twice in the chest, and then he goes into the garage scene where the guy's hauling ass for no reason. He was there to kill him, then all of a sudden he gets scared, or he's like trying to flee very quickly.
And there's an old lady walking by with a basket full of cats.
Yeah.
And Caruso saves her, and he pushes the cat in front of the truck like that's going to fucking stop him. Like that's going to distract. Yeah. And it worked. The cats distracted him.
Right.
And then he just...
There was also a scene of unnecessary nudity in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
For no reason.
A couple was fucking in the back seat.
They're getting down, and they hear a noise, and the girl gets up in a way where her whole body is exposed.
She's like, whoa?
Yeah, like, huh? It's like, if you're going to – something's happening, you peek your head out. Like, what's happening? You don't launch your entire body up to the roof of the car. But it's
good boobs,
I guess, so why not?
I think that was the only pair.
Nope.
No.
Later in the club.
That's right.
Later in the club. Also, the destruction that this guy causes in the garage. He steals some poor dude's car and destroys it. All the cars in the garage are getting screwed up for no reason. Again, this is a wild disregard for any rules. Because
mm-hmm.
that goes to the taxpayers.
Yeah.
We're paying for all that.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't care. Nobody cares. Through the entire movie, there's a lot of just, whatever happens, happens, and blowing everything up. Those are against rules. There's no way these guys should be real cops with all the recklessness.
They're supposed to be the two best cops in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, fuck it. We'll just jump ahead. We'll just jump to wherever we want. But when they follow the British guy or the he had a British accent, then he would jump to an Australian accent.
Worst accent ever.
Yeah, he was just jumping back and forth. Anyway, they're following him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tango makes the loudest fucking noise while tailing somebody, and the guy turns, and he's like, and he keeps walking. And then they're stepping on broken glass.
Yep.
They're fucking stomping their fucking feet. I'm
Stallone
like,
with his dress shoes.
You're supposed to be the two best fucking cops in L.A., and you suck at tailing guys. If it wasn't for a setup, they would have...
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's another problem I have with Tango, Stallone's character, is that he's constantly in a suit the entire... Well, until he goes to prison. He's wearing that suit out on the job. Mm-hmm. Now, I appreciate looking nice. I like to look nice as much as possible. But that has to be constrictive to
especially
movement.
The vest.
The vest, especially the vest.
Detectives wear suits, but they don't wear the vest.
Yeah.
Yeah, the vest, it's kind of, you can't move as much with a blazer on even. I mean, you're going into a place alone, by the way. So you want everything in your advantage. I'd be wearing like jersey shorts and a tank top or something to make sure I can move quickly as much as I would need to. He's in a full suit and he's stomping down, like you were saying, with his dress shoes on, clickety clacketing all the way.
Stepping on glass.
Yeah.
Breaking.
Yeah.
So they get set up, which also was... go ahead.
Go ahead. It's okay.
Sorry, I got excited.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So they get set up with the worst setup I think ever on the planet. This is the real, real bad, real bad setup. They apparently killed the guy. Was already dead, but he was wearing a wire. His gun was mysteriously at the scene. And
there's a bunch of coke.
There's a bunch of coke, but it seemed like if they were going to try to prove this in an actual court of law, everything would have fallen apart. Everything would have fallen apart because if they are surrounding this building, all the cops that show up in a moment's notice, they would have seen somebody leave. They would have seen them come in. They would have seen something to disprove the fact that they killed him. They just happen to show up at the right moment. Oh, and you have a gun in your hand, but there's also one behind you.
But wouldn't if Jack Palance have paid off, like,
that's true. That's very true. They could have paid off.
Yeah, he did pay off a lot of people. But even so, did he pay off every single cop in the force?
That's not the point.
Well, he paid off those.
Well, the point about it is to make the arrest regardless of the whole thing about it because they're at the scene of a crime.
Yeah, what about the 30 other cops that were standing around surrounding the building? They happened to show up. Nobody saw anything? They all got paid off? What?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Just a bad setup.
The way I see it is this. Maybe they killed the guy already because the guy wasn't dead at that point in time.
No, he
was
dead.
I know he was. I mean, like, he wasn't dead at that point. I mean, he was dead, but the post-mortem shows that he's been dead longer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another good point. Interesting.
Because they say, oh, it looks like he's not going to be moving anywhere. They say some line like that to indicate that.
Yeah, his hands. Yeah, something about his hands.
And then Stallone keeps going, why is he wearing a wire? Why is he wearing a wire? I would have been like, shut the fuck up. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. No, it's an instant setup. Oh, God. Get out. But even then, they were already surrounded. But also, the tape that was introduced as evidence of them killing the guy was obviously clipped together. Yeah. Like, do you want to see it?
I want to see it.
A lot of the stuff, and throughout the entire movie, there's a lot of dubbing. There's a lot of post-production that happens in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's very obvious to tell that the voice doesn't sound the same from 1 second to the next because they had to redo it in post. And it's so obvious. It threw me off.
Yeah, there was with the British guy. I think it was on the roof.
Yeah.
I don't know what was happening, but you could really tell that like they did some post dub work.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of it.
My guess on it is there probably was an issue with the sound.
Yeah. Because that's usually what happens.
Because usually when you're on that high of a building, you're going to have some crosswinds and stuff like that causing sound issues.
Great. So reshoot it.
No,
you can't reshoot that kind of a thing, man.
No.
Because by the time you go to this is 89. By the time you go to post, everybody's gone. Like the crew's gone.
Yeah, this is
Stallone
already afterwards.
And Russell's probably doing their own
thing. Not to mention the fact that this is back when there wasn't that much computer altering information as well.
Right. That's obvious. Even though the guy in the movie had a lot of high-tech equipment to do audio editing, it still can't produce the shitty audio quality as far as the tape.
This movie...
It was a freaking tape, man. It wasn't about, like, file.
Unless it was, like, a reel
this
or something.
This movie does not age well.
No.
People are getting their information on newspapers. They introduced fucking tape. Not even a VHS... Not even cassette tape. The old school...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Real tape.
It's like a film or something, yeah.
The hairstyles. Like, this movie did not age well.
The laser sight on...
I said that the laser eye on the pistol. I mean, what's the point?
It's bigger than the freaking gun. Yeah, yeah.
And it's established that they're both badass shots. Why the fuck do you need? What do you need to be more accurate?
No.
He even says when he finds his gun, he says someone's fucking with my
sights. My sights off.
Oh, maybe that's why he did it. But how hard is it to adjust your sights on a gun? I don't know. I don't shoot guns. Is it hard to readjust? What does that mean?
I'm curious about that.
Basically, when the sights are off, that means when you're shooting down the barrel, because they actually have an extra sight on top. If it's not like calibrated to what you're comfortable with, you can tell that it's off. Like you don't have to shoot it to know that it's off.
But I'm sure it's easy to recalibrate it, right?
Oh yeah, it's easy to calibrate. But that's the point. He uses it. He says his sight's off, which means someone's tampered with it.
Yeah,
that's all.
But then that's it. Hey, my gun's weird. All right, I'm going to have this pizza.
It
was some pretty good pizza.
I'm sure it was a great pizza. And this is during the introduction scenes for both of them. They're trying to give you the impression of what kind of people they are.
One's rich, one's...
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Not poor, but...
He just doesn't give a fuck about anything. He just doesn't care about anything. Doesn't care about the rules. He's interrogating a guy in the locker room. He almost kills the guy, choking him out. Also against the rules. I feel like there's lawsuits happening there. The ACLU is going to
Oh, when he's torturing that Asian guy?
Yeah.
Why the... Okay, if you have a guy who's tried to kill a cop, arrested, wouldn't you put him, like, in jail or in the interrogation room? It looked like the cop's fucking locker room.
Yeah, it was.
They had toilets. They had the locker room. What are you doing putting him in there?
He had to go to the restroom. That's the only restroom in the entire police department, I guess.
It's in the cop's locker room.
What about that silver shit in the cells? That's where you go to the bathroom as a criminal. You don't go to the cop's locker room.
Well, maybe it's because he wanted to get away from the cameras.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
And once again, my boy Kurt Russell with the badass scene when he's got the chair on his throat and just leaning forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cop comes. Remember the cop walks in? He's like, "What's going on in here?" And then Kurt Russell goes, "English 101. And the cop turns around like, "Eh, whatever," and just walks out.
Everyone knows that he's already a supposed cop killer. I mean, it makes sense why he would like, okay, never
mind. That's also true. I mean, if you walk in on this guy that's trying to kill a cop, you're like, eh.
Yeah.
Give me 5 minutes. Here's a condom.
What?
There's one thing I want to talk about. What did you think of the one-liners?
Stallone's one-liners?
No, all the one-liners. All,
this, oh, come on. I mean, Stallone's one-liners were horrible.
Remind me when we get out to visit Jabba the Hutt. And then Kurt Russell goes, I'll bring a chainsaw. And then Stallone goes, I'll bring the beer.
I was
like, what's going on with
these guys are on trial for their lives. And they're just like quipping with each other. Like, oh, that's no big deal. No big deal. Look at that guy. Yeah. I'm going to visit him later. Yeah. I'll bring the beer.
You're about to get sent away to prison for the rest of your life. And they're just like, eh. Cares. No big deal.
Maybe. Well, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maestro. Go.
Well, I'm trying to like poke holes at Adam's like craziness. So what I would say is because they think they're such badasses, they don't have to really worry about stuff like that.
Yeah, the rules don't apply to them. That's made very clear in the first two opening scenes.
Yeah, I mean, so that's probably the reason why they would say that thing. I would say something like that, actually.
You bring up the trial. And I wrote this in my notes.
All right.
This is my exact note. I'm going to read you verbatim my exact note that I wrote this. I said, so you're telling me two cops are arrested for manslaughter, drug possession, and corruption, and their plea bargain is 18 months in a minimum security prison? What the fuck?
That's...
What?
Maybe that's just part of the plan. They were paid off for all this bullshit. Why am I poking holes? No, you're right. No, you're right.
Excellent.
Not to mention the closing statements that they were giving. Where, first of all, the thing that... Everything bugs me about everything. Stallone says, closing statement, he's like, yeah, can I approach the bench? Yeah. He then takes 5 feet to the left, doesn't approach the bench.
He moves away from the bench.
He moves away from his desk, nowhere near the bench, which he requests to approach. Mm-hmm. He gives a whole speech, and then your boy gets up, and like, yeah, I got a speech too. Fuck this.
This fucking sucks. Yeah. And the whole place goes fucking ape shit.
Yeah. Again, on trial for your life.
And he's still being defiant.
Great. Ready to go, man. Enjoy your prison. Enjoy it all.
There's another thing I found really strange.
All right. Okay.
So it's been established throughout the movie. We're jumping ahead. They escape from prison. We're jumping ahead.
Okay.
They escape from prison. And these two are the most famous cops in the city of L.A.
Yeah.
Everybody's reading about the trial. They're following it through the newspaper.
Yeah.
They're the most well-known cops in L.A. And they're just walking around like Kurt Russell just enters the club like, hey, what's up? And nobody, the whole fucking city knows who they are. They've been following this like... Every day they've been following on the newspaper and everything, and he kind of puts his head down like to make sure nobody sees him
a little bit.
You're Gabriel Cash. Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah, everybody.
Nobody's like, hey, didn't you go to jail?
What are you doing here?
You're out.
Shit. Or if anything, maybe buy you a shot, dude.
Yeah, but nobody. It's established they're the most famous cops in the city.
Right.
Nobody notices. Hey, isn't that Gabriel Cash? Hey, isn't that Ray Tango? No. Nobody.
Nobody cares.
Nobody. No. Logic.
No.
Logic just goes out the window. But you know what? This movie's not great.
Oh.
But it's fun.
Oh, I like the logic.
But it's fun. Wait, but it's fun.
Okay.
See, I like movies like this. Okay. Movies that try to be smart and like they overthink. I don't like that. I like a movie like this where right like the opening scene, you already know what kind of movie you're getting with it.
Crazy.
They know that they're gonna be ridiculous and silly, and they just run with it. I like that. I like when they you know, fuck it. We're just going to be silly with it.
That is a very good point.
I like when I'll turn my brain off for 90 minutes to watch a movie. And this is a good turning off your brain movie.
Yeah. Well, for me, turning off my brain is it's reserved for certain things.
Sleep, drinking.
Okay. Very good points.
So basically, the
most prominent examples in my life. I'll give you that.
So then maybe you should be drinking when you watch this movie.
Like, I have no problem turning off my brain for like sci-fi type of stuff, fantasy type of stuff. But stuff that is set in the real world.
Oh, come on. You like every single time we talk about time travel, you go off the wall.
Yes, because this is supposed to happen in the real world.
Science fiction.
But it's not like Lord of the Rings science fiction.
Oh, so you're talking about fantasy.
Yes.
Where you know that it's not possible.
Exactly.
But at least you are understanding.
If this is trying to take place in my world, my world has rules.
Along with padded walls.
Yes. All right. I want to talk about the jail scene. The whole stay in jail. Now, they were supposed to go minimum security, and there was a switch made somewhere in Victorville where they then get sent to maximum security.
Oh, before you get there?
Yeah.
I never noticed this until, again, I never noticed this. Cash's boss was Mr. Blue from Reservoir Dogs. Eddie Bunker. No, not Eddie Bunker. Where the fuck his name is? Remember Reservoir Dogs, Mr. Blue?
The guy that was the head.
He had the long hair? No, he was he had the long hair. He's like, it's the opening scene when Tarantino's talking about the tip, and he goes, "What's generous? Take her back, suck your dick." That guy, he's his boss in this movie. I never realized that.
The commissioner or the
Cash's boss.
Oh, Cash's boss. Okay.
The older guy.
All right.
They got lost somewhere up there in Victorville.
Okay.
He was Mr. Blue. I never noticed that until now. I've seen this movie like 7 times. I didn't even realize it.
Anyway, I still didn't realize it.
Okay, go back. So they get lost, and now they're in a fucked up prison.
A maximum security prison. And, okay, maximum security, by the way. As they're walking down, they enter the prison, and the whole place is on fire.
That's in my notes.
This is a maximum security prison, and there's riots. There's literally fire raining from the sky because there's litter, which Tango hates.
How do they get matches? Isn't that contraband?
I don't know! How's the whole place on fire as they're walking down? Like, it's just another day in maximum security prison.
I understand that the guards are corrupt in that prison, but aren't there rules like, don't set shit on fire?
Yes, and don't... There must be people on the very top shelf just constantly throwing trash. I don't know where they're getting all this trash, but they keep throwing it, and maybe the next level underneath, they're lighting it on fire, and it's just like, this is chaos for a maximum security prison. What the fuck was minimum security prison then? What could have happened there? So they're walking in, everything's on fire, and then the same guy from the opening scene with the giant jaw, he's like, oh yeah, come over here, let me talk to you. And he like pulls his face into it, and he starts bleeding instantly, like a dent in his face. The whole prison scene, like the rest of the movie.
It was ridiculous.
And then they have this intimate scene in the shower, these two, where they're just like bullshitting with each other, and it just seems very, very awkward.
And Russell did Stallone's voice.
Remember? Did he?
Yeah, he imitated him. Yeah, what did he say? He said, he said something like, forget about it. He didn't say that. Yeah, yeah. He didn't say that, but it was in Stallone's voice.
Right.
Forget about it.
Yeah, so, I liked it.
It's very weird. The whole prison scene was outrageous. And then the prison is so corrupt that they all meet in the washroom or something, laundry room.
Yeah.
And then Jack Palance shows up and he's there in prison. I don't know how he got in there either. Or the Pointville dude.
And the Brit, yeah.
With the crazy accent. Was he Brit? Irish? What did we decide?
Australian.
I don't know. Yeah. So, okay.
There's also a lot of electricity flowing throughout this entire prison.
Yes.
Unchecked.
So.
There's unchecked electricity everywhere.
Okay. What kind of prison? Okay. Again, I understand your guards are corrupt. What kind of prison just lets the inmates just hang out with the guards? Like,
they're just chilling.
They're just chilling. Oh my God. Why don't they just rebel? They give them weapons. They give them fucking weapons in the movie. They give them chains and shit. Fuck Tango and Cash. Just get the fuck out of prison.
It's like they take over the whole thing. I mean, like, he's like the main bad guy owns that prison pretty much.
Yeah. These are cops in a prison. They should be protected somewhat, I feel like, even though they maybe turned their back on the badge or whatever. They're still cops, for Christ's sake. What about that thin blue line? There's a blue line, isn't there? Not? Apparently not.
Blue lines?
The thin blue line. The cops.
So, I guess we're going to follow the story just for a bit. What happens is they get rescued by the warden.
Also, one more thing about the prison. They're cellmates.
The slinky dude?
They're cellmates. These are like from Central Casting. You have the biggest, baddest guy cellmate, and then the most harmless, crazy guy, which is an Austin Powers.
It's Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard.
Clint Howard? Okay, yeah. Great. But he says a line that really upset me. About how I'm not scared of you. Crazy people aren't scared of other people. Crazy people don't know that they're crazy.
Yeah.
So for him to say that,
he's
not crazy.
No.
He's a horrible actor. He's playing a very bad part.
He has a slinky, man.
Yeah. Which he is used to restrain him later somehow. It's a very thin aluminum.
It's like a 50-foot slinky. He has so much wrapped around him. He wraps him in it. It looks like there's 50 feet of it. I'm like, where'd you get that much slinky?
He must have been really...
Isn't that contraband too?
Right. Why are the slinkies?
How the fuck?
Plus, he has his trophies on the wall. The people he killed, he has those newspaper clippings on the wall. There's no rehabilitation happening in this prison. They're proud. This is my trophy. Look at that. Let me start a fire in the commissary. This is a horrible prison.
And Caruso gets... hold on. He doesn't get punked. He allows the guy to talk down to him.
All right. The giant black dude.
Fucking guy.
Yeah.
Who I've seen in... He plays the same character like the big fucking...
Of course.
Like...
I said, Central Casting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the cellmates are all crazy.
So
the whole prison thing is
crazy. Yeah, so the warden rescues him, and then the warden says, the only way to get you out is to escape. You're the warden. Just fucking let him out.
Right? Well, how much this?
So they set up an escape plan where the fans on the roof, they're going to turn him off. Stallone thinks it's a setup too. Russell goes out there.
Because he knows the warden.
Because he knows the warden. It was
15 years.
Yeah, it was his friend when he first became a cop. And the warden's dead, so they're chasing him.
How did the warden die in the place where they were already escaping?
No, they
put, on their way out.
They slashed his throat, and then his body just fell. Did something push him
there.
Down? Or?
He was put there.
Oh, okay.
He was put in the escape area?
The entire time when they were escaping, everyone knew where they were going. It was planned. And the reason why he was the warden was thrown down there is just to say, he's like, look, you're fucked right there.
Okay.
So Kurt Russell goes into the room where the fans are, and he goes, holy shit, the fans are still on. The only thing between him and a bunch of guards and that crazy chin guy are wooden doors.
Yeah.
So he gets a crowbar, and he sticks it between the doors, and they're trying to – so instead of shooting the wood, they're using the barrel of their guns to try to smash through it. Shoot the fucking door open. Did you not catch
– oh, I missed that
part. Oh, my God.
And then,
and then, of course, Stallone holds the fucking fan. Come on!
Yeah.
And they escape in the most ridiculous way possible.
Oh, my God.
I think the reason why is because if they shoot the guns, they have to do a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
No, it's a corrupt – they already killed the warden.
It's a joke.
They killed the warden.
Paperwork which will later catch fire and rain down on
the next group of prisoners.
Where do you think they get it from?
Yeah, I like the point.
So the only way out of the prison is there's a cable line.
More electricity.
More electricity.
Well,
it's raining. So Kurt Russell says, I actually have the quote. Russell says, okay, he says, Stallone says, aren't we going to get electrocuted? And Kurt Russell says, no, as long as we don't touch both wires and we don't touch the floor. So Russell jumps off the roof, lands on the wire.
Perfectly.
Uses his belt and just glides down.
Right.
So then Stallone's about to jump. The chin guy stops him. They get in this big fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicks him into these – what are they? Generator? No.
Some sort of transformer.
Transformers.
Yeah, he kicks him into the transformers. And once again, proving Kurt Russell's a badass, the guy touched both wires, had his feet on the ground, electrocuted.
Right.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's the man, dude. That's further proof that he's the man.
So what you're trying to say is Kurt Russell invented electricity.
Yes. Do you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
There's a joke where Charlie's trying to fix the power.
Okay.
It's not Charlie. It's Dennis and Mac. And they go, where's Charlie? This is his kind of work. And they go, well, I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to get electrocuted. And Mac tells him, as long as you're not touching the ground and you try to do it, you'll be fine. And he goes, how do you know that? He goes, I think that was in Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you want me to risk my life because of something you saw in Tango and Cash? And Mac's response is, Kurt Russell did it. He's like, you don't forget it. We're just going to get Charlie.
Very good.
So they escape.
Yeah.
Go back into the real world.
And this is where
nobody recognized. Oh, hey, Ray Tango.
Many people. Well, when you were a kid, how many people read the newspaper anyways?
There are no kids in this movie.
No,
all adults.
In 1980, how many people would actually, how many people would actually read the newspaper? Get up in the morning and get the newspaper.
Everyone.
I remember my dad watching it.
All the exposition that you're fed is told through newspapers.
Oh, yes, the exposition. There's a lot of exposition.
Late 80s, early 90s. There is TV now.
I'm sure this is being covered on
MTV.
TV. I'm sure this is being covered on television.
I'm just saying the music television was a big thing back then, and all the adolescents up to 19 was completely on that
thing. I'm going to back up Maestro for a second, to my chagrin. The place that they're going into is a club where there's women dancing. I feel like that crowd is not going to be very keeping up on the news.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Okay. That's true.
So they go to the club.
Oh my God. And Terry Hatcher in this time period.
Wow.
Wow. She's fucking hot. She looks good now, but damn, back then.
Woo. I was a little turned off by her childish voice.
Oh yeah.
But not enough. That I was like,
yeah, I'll let that slide.
Right, exactly.
And this is, I think, the first movie where Kurt Russell actually cross-dresses, right?
Oh, my God. Okay.
How turned on were you by that scene?
Oh. See, let me just tell you
don't think Bruce Willis has ever cross-dressed, has he?
Kurt Russell can play a woman. Did Stallone. Did Schwarzenegger. Did Willis. Did Van Damme. My boy. My boy can do it all.
I feel like Willis might have.
I'll have to look into it.
You're going to have to check the archives?
Yeah, I'll have to check my spank bank. I mean, the what? Internet. Oh, I have said
that. Snipes did.
Snipes did?
In
I remember that.
Wong Fu.
Yeah. Yeah, so, horrible woman. And another thing, also cliche for everything. Every time there's a man playing a woman in any movie, any TV show, there is some crazy dude that finds her
madly attractive.
Wow. Oh, my God.
How about a threesome, baby?
What kind of cop asks that of these girls? Hey, how about a threesome? Ah, cigarette flicks. But these guys, oh, I love your super strong jaw, baby. what's attractive about?
Right. Yeah.
So that's how he gets out of the club. Now he gets recognized, I guess, now on the way out.
Yeah.
But then,
Stallone has the most epic, it's the best one liner in the movie. He finds the FBI agent who set him up. And we should post this on the site.
Yes.
The clip, it's like a 20-second clip. We'll post it on the site. Maestro, you know what scene it is, right? So he oh my God.
That's the closest thing I could find to him cross-dressing, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. Right. So Stallone finds the guy and he has a plate of spaghetti and he drops it and Stallone goes, "Yuck." I'm gonna butcher this.
That's fine.
He goes, "Yuck. From the looks of your diet, it doesn't look like someone's counting their calories. Instead, are you counting the money that they paid you off to set us up for?" That's the best one-liner.
It was so cheesy and forced. And
oh, yeah.
I didn't buy it. He bought it. Maybe with a gun in your face, maybe you start buying into those kind of lines. But it's bad.
So the FBI agent escapes, and he goes in his car, and the car explodes.
Right.
Most car bombs that I know, usually they explode when you like start the ignition because that's like the trigger to set something up. Yeah. I didn't know a bomb can go off just by opening a door.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
Well, because it's the whole thing about a circuit. Oh, if the circuit gets broken, then the explosion can happen. That I didn't have a problem with that. I did have a problem with up until this point.
Until now, you didn't have a problem.
No. Please, I had problems from the beginning. No, but the next scene where Kurt Russell goes back with Catherine,
mm-hmm.
which up until this point. Kiki, mm-hmm. up until this point, we are led to believe that this is Stallone's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then magically becomes a sister, which I find weird. I love my sister to death, but the relationship they had at the beginning, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine going to that length.
When she was talking about her leaving overseas.
Yeah.
I mean, that didn't seem like very much like a boyfriend-girlfriend talk anyway.
It seemed like, it made Stallone seem like a real vag. I think because she was like, "I'll do whatever I want." And he's like, "Okay." So I get it was a little weird. But anyway, there's a massage scene between your boy, mm-hmm. Kurt Russell, and Terry Hatcher.
Pussy in the movie.
Technically, it's just the couch you see, though.
Yeah. But it was one of these. I've given massages. I've received massages. And the noises. the way they were talking during that massage was like nothing I well, I would hope to experience that, but it was very like erotic, like you've got it, yeah, it's hard, it's like why?
But you,
this is a massage.
But you know, you talk like that normally, anyways.
No, it was so over the top. It's like, okay, we know it's a massage, we know that Stallone does not know it's a massage, so let's make him think that they're having sex, and it was just so. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed hearing Terry Hatcher making those sounds, but it was. Like the rest of the movie, not
ridiculous.
Logical, not yes, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I liked it.
So they find the Brit and they try to do good cop, bad cop. They do a Batman. They hang him off the roof and he's like, "Hey, I like this view. You're not gonna do anything." And they're like, "Time for Plan B." And they stick a grenade in his mouth. They tape it over and they do the whole batter cop, bad cop.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Worst cops.
Yeah, worst cop, bad cop, something like that. And then he talks. And then he pulls the thing, and it's a dud. And he goes, "Hey, it was a fucking dud. A fucking."
Yeah.
His accent changed again. I don't know what it became this time. So they're told.
Well, he was upside down, wasn't he?
No. Oh, yeah. So
that's why he became Australian?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, high five.
So they figure out it's Jack Palance. So now they have the tape.
Yep.
That can prove their innocence.
Oh.
So instead of going to the press and saying, "Hey, we have this British guy who works for Jack Palance, and this is the tape proving us, we're just going to raid your fucking shit. We're just going to raid it."
Yeah.
In the most high-tech fucking car.
Yes, I want that card so bad.
1989, and there's a live feed feeding into the monitor in 1989.
You know,
do you understand how big phones were back then?
Yeah, I remember.
And we're getting a live feed.
Yeah.
Provided by another guy out of Central Casting as a nerd.
Oh, yes.
The nerd, nerdy, nerdiness.
It could be possible he might be just in the trunk. He could have been there. He could have heard everything because he couldn't see anything. So it could have been the trunk.
All right. Now, there's a lot of things I have problems with as far as the last scene.
Oh, the last 20 minutes? Oh, man.
Well, first of all, Jack Palance, for some reason, is just sitting, staring at his monitors. I don't know how many days he's been sitting there waiting for these guys to show up. But as they show up, he's watching the monitors, waiting for them, which he has set up an elaborate maze in this complex. He has 1,000 people walking around willing to die for no reason.
In uniforms. They look like Bond villains.
Yes, they do.
Why do you have your men in uniforms? What if the cops raided you and, like, why are they dressed like that?
Because I felt like it's Tango and Cash.
Cash Tango.
Yeah, I've got a weird
He made this elaborate maze for his table, and he put rats in it, like, just so he could do the rat maze. And he named two of them. One, Tango and Cash.
Yeah. Right. So there's this elaborate compound, which I feel like all of the money he made off drugs went into making this crazy compound.
Yes.
And then he sets off a self-destruct sequence.
Yes.
At the time, when he set this off.
Is it Terry Hatcher, right?
Yeah, Terry Hatcher.
His partners are still in the building. Business partners, the two guys who he needs to sell his product.
When I first saw the scene, I'm like, he pushes the button, self-destruct. I'm like, oh, they're screwed because he's not in the building anymore. He's somewhere far away about to blow them up because there's no way he'd be in the building and blow it up just to kill them and kill yourselves. So I'm like, oh, you guys are screwed. I don't know why you keep going through this maze. What are you trying to find? He's not going to be here. He's blowing the shit up. He's not going to be here. And then turns out he's there. Oh, this is the worst. He's so smart. He's so smart to pull all the shit off and then tries to kill himself.
I feel like I shouldn't say anything about this one because your logic does make a lot of sense.
It's perfect. My logic is undeniable.
Unless he had a panic room.
that survives that explosion?
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, like, refrigerator. People have – remember how – okay, Indiana Jones. But, like, everyone back in, like, the 50s had their own, like, bunkers and stuff like that. What if he had one too?
Then why wasn't he in it?
Because he had the time to, like, mess with
him. 12 minutes.
Yeah, 12 minutes. He's just chill in the bunker. All right. Come find me. I'll be in here. Good luck.
You know what I never noticed until Did you notice all the monster trucks and the cars that were chasing Kurt Russell and them had the cop lights on it?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was cute. That was a cute little touch on it.
Was it blue and red or was it yellow?
Yeah, it was blue and red. They weren't light lit up, but it was the cop lights just off.
Yeah.
So you can tell they were cop lights.
Okay.
I thought that was cute.
Because I know some construction vehicles do have that, but it's a yellow one.
Yeah, it was blue and red.
It was blue and red?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Wow. So that was a cute little.
Well, he paid off all the cops.
That is true.
The cops that lit the prison on fire.
And maybe that's the reason why they're in uniform.
Oh, these are all cops, maybe. The same 20 cops at the beginning of the stakeout. Oh, it's all coming together.
Oh, and Kurt, where'd you drive? Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Fucking love Kurt Russell.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good one. I like that.
So the final showdown. The Brit's back, and he has Terry Hatcher, and he has a grenade strapped to her neck. He's like, oh, remember Plan B?
Yeah.
Well, look here, this ain't no dud here, mate. And then there's a kung fu guy fighting Stallone, and then there's Kurt Russell taking on the Brit.
Right.
Jesus Christ. So, oh, my God. This is ridiculous, dude.
It's all ridiculous.
I did like how the Brit died. Plan C?
Plan C, which is basically no more dud.
He stuck the thing. He stuck a live grenade down his pants and kicked him down the stairs. Boom! Just blew up.
This is really funny because as you see the explosion, where the explosion emanated from was around the corner on the thing, not on him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're like, interesting. Is he able to toss that last second or did he fart it out? I'm not sure.
It wasn't a grenade. It turns out it was a remote
control grenade.
Remote control. It triggered the bombs all around him instead
Okay. So anyways, talk about the part where they shoot him at the last second.
So instead of Palance leaving, because there's only like four minutes.
Not in the panic room.
Not in the panic room. The doors behind his office open, and he's holding Terry Hatcher hostage with a gun. in a house of mirrors, a room full of mirrors.
Why?
Why? Why?
Because it's cash. Tangle.
Maybe he spent all the money on the mirrors, so he didn't have money for the panic room.
Huh. Maybe he believes the mirrors protects everything, unfortunately.
Well, we just have glass. To follow the theme of breaking glass and windows.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of broken.
I do like the little like banter they had right before they actually shoot him, because they talk to him about saying they're gonna shoot his kneecaps, but right. Bring him in, and then they both go on two instead of three, and they both shoot him in the same forehead. Head. Yeah,
yeah, because now they're like soulmates.
They think alike, but they also try to screw each other over.
Right.
So
like
they,
brothers,
they kill Jack Palance. Palance is dead, and now there's 20 seconds left. For them to get the fuck out. And, of course, they get out in time.
Right.
And the building explodes. You can outrun a bomb in 20
I have a question. Yes. With the time limit going down from 20 seconds, did it take them that long for those clips, 20 seconds for them to get out, or was it a little bit longer?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, in real time?
Yeah, in real time. Because I was thinking.
I didn't time it.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, I never thought of that.
If
movie time?
Yeah, I understand movie time, but I'm saying, would it be kind of funny is if they only take parts of the clips and those clips are 20 seconds long? Then they would be like teleporting.
Yeah, exactly. They can't
teleport. I was just thinking that might be an interesting topic right there.
Maybe it was 12 seconds in movie time.
So the building explodes. Kurt Russell earns the right to date his sister.
Kind of.
And then it ends in the most ridiculous fact. This cheesy music plays, and they both, they high five and hold hands, and then it superimposes into the newspaper saying Tango and Cash free, and just directed by, and it just ends.
Yeah,
that's something I didn't mention.
What?
Okay, so it shows you who fucking made this? Warner Brothers. Let's just say it's Warner Brothers.
Right. I heard like a lot of Peters were in there.
What do you mean?
Well, on the credits there was a lot of people named Peter at the beginning. Oh, that's all I know.
I don't know about that. So the fucking
that you picked that out of you're trying to shoot holes in my plots the entire time, and you recognize all the Peters.
You did that yourself.
There's something I didn't mention that I'm sure you picked up on.
Okay.
The score, like the musical score in this movie is so fucking ridiculous.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
It's almost like the Beverly Hills Cop, like the boom, 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 but like cheesier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it plays the first 5 seconds, and immediately I was like, "Oh my God, they're already starting!" And then it cuts to that cheesy fucking score with the newspaper.
Yeah,
I saw someone on YouTube. They took the video off, but they did these clips of famous world events using the Tango and Cash ending.
Yeah.
So it has that song, and it's like Man on the Moon. It has like him on the moon on the newspaper. Yeah, with that, and it's like the war is over, and it shows like the Navy man kissing the woman with the Tango and Cash ending.
Yeah, that was
pretty good. I like
that. I like that too.
I was watching the movie with some people around. They were walking by around the house, and they couldn't see the screen, but they could hear the music throughout the entire music. They're like, watching an 80s movie?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
You can tell.
Yes, I am. You can tell. The music is so 80s appropriate.
I loved it. I loved the whole movie. It was funny. It was enjoyable. It was a nice ride for the whole movie. And Terry Hodgson really helped.
It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. You got to admit it. You got to admit it's fun. And they have good chemistry.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, they work pretty good on screen.
Even with those one-liners, they really work pretty well.
I disagree. Kurt Russell did good. I'll give your boy some credit. I enjoyed Kurt Russell in this role.
Oh, dude, he had the best scenes, the best lines, the best everything.
I believed him as that character.
Yeah.
I did not believe Stallone as Tango.
As a stockbroker cop.
Yes. No, he's like shoehorned into this role. I feel like he was like blackmailed or something. Maybe he owed somebody a favor to play this role. Because he did not, everything he said, all his lines felt forced. Maybe it's because I know the rest of his career, and this is not him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a funny guy. He may have a couple of lines every now and then, but this character was supposed to be funny.
Yeah,
and it felt too forced.
It's okay.
I found some trivia on this movie. Just a little
trivia. Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Patrick Swayze was originally signed on to play Gabriel Cash, but he dropped out to do Roadhouse.
Oh,
which proves that Patrick Swayze is the poor man's Kurt Russell, and that Kurt Russell is the poor man's Mel Gibson. Because this is essentially a cheaper version of Lethal Weapon.
Right. Yes.
You have like the crazy badass cop.
Yeah.
Also, all
stereotypes. Yeah.
The old vet cop that actually is going to retire. Is that what you're trying to say?
It doesn't follow that, but it follows that same idea. Remember after the prison escape, Ed, Cash tells Tango, what'd you do? Stop for a coffee and a Danish?
Yeah.
And Tango responds with, I hate Danish.
Yeah.
At the time, Sylvester Stallone was going through a divorce with Bridget Nielsen, who was Drago's girlfriend in Rocky IV.
I just got weird chills.
Who is Danish.
She's Danish?
Yeah, that's fun. That's interesting. That's good. That's interesting.
Also dated Flavor Flav.
Yes.
Which is
weird.
All right. Stallone to Flavor Flav. I mean, I know. Standing next to each other, you got to struggle to pick them apart. But it's just, all right.
This movie was nominated for 3 Razzies. It did not win. It was only got a nomination.
Okay.
Worst actor, Sylvester Stallone.
Yep.
Worst screenplay, Randy Feldman.
Got it.
Jesus Christ. Worst supporting actress, Kurt Russell in Drag. Fuck you. Fuck you, Razzies.
Yeah.
Even in drag, he's good. Even in drag, he's good.
What's that, Kiki?
Oh, my God. Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
It's part of the show where I make the guys guess what the Rotten Tomatoes score is. So before we jump to the Rotten Tomatoes score,
yep.
What is your personal Rotten Tomatoes score?
Oh, dude, I'm biased. I like this movie a lot.
Well, okay. Let's hear it.
Okay.
0 to 100.
85?
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay. I've watched it multiple times. I enjoy it.
Okay.
I still do.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Adam?
It wasn't as horrible as other movies we've reviewed or that I've watched. For me personally, I'll give it like a 63.
Okay.
It wasn't like god-awful.
Yeah.
But it was pretty bad.
Think about Terry Hatcher.
A 64 and a half.
Me, I would give it an 80.
80?
Okay.
Just because it's my boy. It's just
You're biased.
I like movies that you just turn your brain off.
Okay.
And just enjoy how cheesy they are.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, what do you want to guess first, the users or the critics, the tomato meter?
Okay, the users I would think would be higher than the critics,
okay,
I think.
Okay, so let's guess the users first.
Okay. Okay.
Maestro?
I would say the users would be about 75.
Oh, Adam? I was going to say 75. I'll go 77.
53%.
Ah! Oh,
so wow. I was closer.
Rotten. Yeah. Rotten.
Rotten. Is rotten bad? Okay.
Okay, so now let's move on to the critics.
Now we're on to the critics, the tomato meter.
Oh.
Okay, so I would say, if they said 55, I'll go 65.
Okay.
62.
39.
Wow!
They hated it.
Wow!
Certified rotten.
Vindication.
Why are you always following me?
No, I was because you keep guessing what I'm going to guess, you ass.
Oh.
So those.
So you can be my Tango?
Of your cash.
Okay. God. So those are our opinions of the movie. We have lots of them, but we have no credentials.
Nope.
Now let's hear from people who have credentials. You obviously want to hear the bad reviews last. So we're going to hear some good reviews.
All right.
Peter Canavese of Groucho Review says, a bizarrely appealing movie. Tango and Cash is the essence of camp. It's bad and knows it's bad. So therefore, it's good? Question mark.
Okay.
Robert Roten of Laramie Movie Scope says, Tango and Cash is a pale imitation of Lethal Weapon, but it works well enough to be entertaining.
All right.
Fair enough.
Bad reviews. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. The Variety staff at Variety say, a mindless buddy cop pick loaded with nonstop action that's played mostly for laughs and delivers too few of them. And I chuckled a few lines.
Well, most of my chuckles were like, really?
And Chris Hicks of the Deseret. Wait, what? Is that a typo? No, that's right. Chris Hicks of the Deseret News, Salt Lake City, says, movies like this are annoying because they seem to be saying that the audience is made up of morons.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious? Are you serious? How many movies are they making right now that do the exact same thing? Well, I take it back.
Adam Sandler movie on the planet.
I mean, majority of the movies that are coming out right now, there's a lot of them. I mean, like, okay, can you name, like, at least 5? Movies that make you really want to just shoot yourself. They're like are relatively new.
All Adam Sandler
Grown Ups 2, I didn't have no interest for.
Yep, Grown Ups. Adam Sandler, there's a...
any Tyler Perry movie, I'm not interested in.
There you go. And they have the nerve to say that
but
this...
But they make millions.
So what? That's because people buy into it. Because
they're morons, like this guy was saying.
Yeah, it's true. One more thing. This movie cost $55 million.
Okay. Whoa.
1989.
Okay.
Guess how much it grossed.
How expensive was glass in the 80s?
It all went to glass. It all went to glass. That was his budget.
Well, I believe a lot of it was explosions, too.
Yeah. And okay. I'm sure signing both of them.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
A lot of it went to that.
Because they've already made a name for themselves by that time, too.
This is in their heydays.
Yeah.
$55 million. What do you think it grossed? This is its lifetime gross.
Lifetime. Ooh, that's tough. I would say they made even on that one at least.
Oh, I was going to say 73.
They made $63 million.
Oh. Fuck yeah, we're in the middle. All right, high five.
Oh, high five.
But it killed on the VHS market. Like, it killed. It killed on the VHS market and on the DVD market.
Oh, on DVD also?
Because okay. Remember from the Rat Pack episode, yeah. You have to make three times your production budget to break even.
Yeah. Okay. So they're.
So
they're
I'm sure them. They. I'm sure they. I guess they lost. But yeah. Not really. I don't know.
Yeah.
You didn't lose though. You
well, VHS in 1989, movies were expensive.
Yeah, they were.
Oh yeah.
They're like $40 a pop.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap it up. Final thoughts on Tango and Cash?
Dude, I love it, man. I mean, like, all the, like, cheesy one-liners, even though they felt like they were a little bit pushed, and a lot of the Bond villains and the crazy bad guys. I mean, it's just so nostalgic. I love it, every bit of it.
I have less respect for Stallone.
not after seeing that one movie with the arm wrestling? Are you serious?
Yeah, over the top. I mean, that was bad.
I think we have to release that episode.
We're going to have
that episode is really good.
We're going to have to release
it. That's a
it.
Good one.
Yeah.
Especially after doing this one yeah. And ripping this one.
All right. So I lost respect for Stallone. I gained some respect for your boy. because he seemed to fit the role more. Stallone was just – this is like stopping
him. Looks like he had more fun with it.
He did. Yeah. Yeah. He felt – it seemed like he felt more at home in this role
yeah.
than Stallone did. Okay. I would not recommend it to people.
I would recommend it to people.
Okay. Yeah. You hate?
I would recommend – it's not that I enjoy the movie. It's
what, just that
it's ridiculous. Like, I get good laugh out of it.
Okay.
And I love everything Kurt Russell's in, mostly everything.
All right, Kurt Russell fan number 101.
Yeah. So I would recommend it. This movie would be good to watch with your friends on a night of drinking.
Absolutely.
That would be a good movie to watch after a night of drinking or while drinking. Like, this is a good party movie. Like, you could throw this on at a party and people will enjoy it.
A one-liner shot game.
Oh
wow!
You guys will be drunk like in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think by the prison scenes you'll be gone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why is there so much fire
and glass? Oh, a glass drinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. Wow. Very good. All right,
guys. This has been Tango and Cash, episode 3. Next week we are doing The Purge.
Yeah,
it's a movie that's still in theaters. So I think it's still in theaters. You can check it out, or you can. Probably, if it's not in the current run, it's probably like in the $3 theaters yes. or the okay, second yes, market yeah,
it
theater.
Is, it is. I was going to watch it this weekend, but I wanted to wait a little while.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So that's our next one. Check that out. I was originally going to bring that up in the movie news when it came out, but I knew that would be too big of a discussion
okay.
to jump into movie news.
Uh-huh.
Actually, this was on an episode that never aired.
Yeah.
So we're going to actually watch the thing. And if you have any recommendations for any movies you want us to watch,
yes.
any movie, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. If you want us to watch Twilight, we'll watch it.
Well, hold on a second, man.
No, anything.
If the fans requested.
If the fans requested.
Assuming they requested.
Because we have a list of movies we want to come up to.
Well, so are you telling me if someone requests that we're watching it?
So, yes.
I will check the email addresses, Maestro. So if it comes from you, I will deny it.
No, I was thinking.
So the audience gets first dibs. Yeah. So yeah. Whatever you want, we'll do first.
I was so thinking
and what
about
is the,
this.
What
like,
is the email?
Show? Spoilers.
Oh, spoilers.
At ratpackpodcast.com.
Give us your suggestion, and then we'll go through them.
Yes. I was so thinking about using like an alternate email address to just to make you watch horrible movies.
Great. All right, so I'll also be looking out for TwilightFan101 at yahoo.com.
So watch The Purge next week,
yes.
And so that way you're ready for us to praise it or rip it.
I don't know.
I've seen it, so
okay.
I'm gonna hold my tongue until then.
All right.
So until next week, this is Hollywood.
I'm Maestro.
And I'm Adam. Bye.
Phone in the morning, and I'm zoning. They say I'm possessed. It's an omen. I keep it 300, like the Romans. 300 bitches, we're the Trojans. Baby, we living in the moment. I've been a menace for the longest, but I ain't finished. I'm devoted, and you know it. All that coon shit, like. Early morning cartoon shit,
like.
This is that goon shit, fuck up your whole afternoon shit, I'ma win.